This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. The Zolo Hound of the Newly Found World by Alison Thurman. So, it's a dog. Yannick wrapped his perfumed handkerchief tighter around his face to block the stench of the squalid Cadiz docks.
"'Tis not just any dog, Signor Hamshirka,'
Captain Vaz gave him a toothless grin. "'But why should I waste my coin on this particular cur, especially one as noisy as this?' Vert had started barking as soon as he saw Yannick, and showed no signs of stopping.
"'Why shouldn't you?' Vaz asked. "'Unless, of course, you no longer carry Emperor Rudolph's coin.'
"'Of course I do,' Yannick said. "'You just usually have better wares. "'You range from Africa to the New World in a year. "'Surely you found a new parrot or monkey or something?'
"'And did you enjoy the creatures I brought you last year?'
"'The bird had screeched every single step on the road to Prague. "'And the sloth? God! He had to burn his second-best doublet in Genoa after that foul thing had clung to him for a month. No, Yannick said. But the Emperor did. Emperor Rudolph, so obsessed with the wonders of the natural world that he spent half his riches on populating that damn menagerie of his, evidently didn't enjoy the bird or sloth enough to praise Yannick face to face. He'd received the news from his master Count Frankenberg, the Emperor's representative in Spain. No. He needed something so novel, so outstanding, that the Emperor would demand an audience. Maybe even promote Yannick out of this messy business of birds and beasts to give him some of Frankenberg's lucrative silk and spice trade. No mere dog would get him all of that.
"'Just so, and your emperor will adore this dog,'
Vaz prattled on.
"'For behold, he has no fur and never has.'
"'Oh, pish, you obviously shaved it.' But had he? The little male dog, with no hair to cover its parts, this much was apparent, was indeed hairless, save a strip of bristles sprouting between its triangular, fox-like ears.' But Yannick felt no stubble when he grabbed its scruff to pull it off its hosen. If anything, the dog's hide was smooth as leather, and of a dull gray color, not unlike that of the Emperor's elephant.
"'Fall is upon us,' Yannick said, grinding his teeth. "'How do you expect me to keep it warm?'
"'Oh, he fairly radiates heat, senor,'
Vaz said.
"'The Indians use them to leech away fever, you see.'
Yannick nodded. Well, maybe that would appeal to the Emperor's obsession with his health. Does he do anything useful besides the fever thing?
He's a fair ratter,
Vaz said.
By my troth, I never saw a single pest during the whole voyage from Mexico.
That would take care of the feeding, at least. What do you call this hideous creature?
Felipe.
Yannick cocked an eyebrow. You call him after the Spanish king. Vaz shrugged.
I'm Dutch.
Yannick smothered a snicker. I mean, what sort of dog is it? Do the Indians have a name for this breed? Vaz scratched his beard.
I struggle to say it. Their word begins with Zolo, senor.
The Zolo? Kept up its manic jumping around Yannick's feet, wagging and yapping more than the most irritating court lapdog. Yet, he was still quieter than the parrot. No greasy hound smell either, though nothing in God's creation could reek more than the sloth. And dogs, even naked ones, didn't spit as the wretched llama had. If nothing else, Felipe's exuberant friendliness might make him a good gift for one of the Emperor's mistresses. Yannick pried his purse out of his codpiece.
10 pesos, and not one maravadi more.
As it turned out,
traveling with Felipe was a joy. Mind, he couldn't obey commands. While Yannick retched over the side of the ship, Felipe had escaped his cage, and no number of kicks or swats could drive him back in. But, just as Voss had promised, not a single rat plagued the voyage to Genoa. Between Felipe's efficiency and merry antics, he had charmed crew and travelers alike by the time they docked a fortnight later. Once on land, though, the dog was useless. Felipe couldn't keep up on foot, let alone with a rider on horseback. After less than a day, Yannick pulled Felipe onto his pommel to ride with him. He even wrapped the little naked animal in a horse blanket, though he did appear to suffer the cold well, even well into the Alps. But Felipe's sheer novelty opened doors. Women and children unaccountably cooed over his wrinkled toes and rat-like tail. Felipe lapped up the attention like a kitten with milk. Word of the marvelous hairless dog must have passed from village to village, for by the time Yannick reached the foot of the Alps, he found welcome in the finest inn in town. Good food and warm, fleeless blankets, all because the innkeeper's children had heard about the fantastic hairless dog. Felipe chased the children past the blazing hearth, his barks mixing with their delighted squeals. Despite the innkeeper's evident misgivings, the children's affection for the dog had earned Yannick a fine dinner.
"It looks like a lizard," the innkeeper said, clearing away the remains of a roast chicken. "You won't bite them, will you?"
"Not at all." Yannick stretched his legs before the fire. He pulled out a pouch of the only import from the New World worth anything. Tabak.
"And he won't attack my chickens?"
the innkeeper asked.
"No, he only eats rats," Yannick said, lighting his pipe.
"And cleans up after himself." The few times Yannick had witnessed a chase, the rat would disappear under or behind something, and Felipe would emerge moments later, smacking his lips without a drop of blood. Perhaps he buried them. Maybe he ate them whole, bones and all.
"Well, my inn has no rats, so he will starve," the innkeeper said.
"Not at all. He eats so very seldom." So seldom that Yannick had saved enough money on scraps to afford a chicken dinner and more tabak. Count Frankenberg would be thrilled.
"But you say he is a dog, and dogs eat everything," the innkeeper said.
"All dogs?" Yannick took a long draw on his pipe. "God saw fit to start another creation in the newly found world, and people there live not as we live, worship not as we worship, eat not what we eat. If this is true for the people, it must be so for their dogs as well." Or some such explanation, best left to fusty clerics with their noses in books. Who cared anyway? This Zolo hound would so impress Rudolph that every man at court would want one. To the devil with Frankenberg's silks and spices! As the sole supplier of this efficient ratter, Yannick could retire within a year. Yes, a manor in the Bohemian countryside, with tapestries on his walls and pewter on his table. He'd already sent a message to Voss to fetch him a male and a female, so they would be in Cadiz by the time he returned in the spring. Well, that called for another bowl of tabak. "Fear not for your flock, but keep them well, for that lizard will keep me passing through your inn for years to come."
"I hope you're right," the innkeeper said, giving frolicking Felipe another wary look. "My fowl are the best in this duchy."
Yannick waved him off and took another deep inhale. The tabak warmed his lungs and stimulated his heart. And good thing, too. The next leg of his journey was through the thickest forest this side of the mountains. Usually, he'd go around, but he wanted to get through the mountains before the snows came. If he departed the following day, he could use the light of the full moon to press through the night. These plans danced in his mind as he went to bed that night. Little Felipe, worn out from his exertions, followed him to his chambers and curled up at the foot of Yannick's bed. He should have kicked him to the floor to sleep where dogs belonged, but he'd been such a good boy all day that he decided to indulge him. Just this once. Yannick was so deep into his dream, lighting a fresh pipe of tobacco while Zolo puppies played at his feet, that he'd fallen out of bed before he realized what had jolted him awake. The pounding on his door was as loud as the hooves of a herd of Andalusian mares. He opened the door to find the innkeeper, very awake and red-faced.
Your dog!
He gripped his nightcap in his hand.
Your ill-bred lizard dog!
What of him? He's been with me all night.
Yannick yawned. Felipe bounced around at his feet.
For certain he is not.
The innkeeper grabbed Yannick's sleeve and dragged him down the passage. Felipe followed, his rat-like tail whipping back and forth at what must appear to his canine mind as some delightful new chase. Yannick had wrestled out of his innkeeper's grip by the time they reached the back garden.
What is the meaning of this?
He said, rubbing the sleep out of his eyes.
You could have at least let me dress. By my troth, if this is how you treat all of your guests... My chickens!
The innkeeper cried. He shoved Yannick towards a structure at the end of the garden. Yannick cursed the innkeeper with every barefooted step. The henhouse slumped like a drunken sailor, but the gate about it appeared sound. Not a chicken in sight, though plenty of scattered chicken shit and feed. Perhaps it was time he got a pair of spectacles. But, after a moment, he could make out something that looked like feathers. Clumps of brown and white stuck to the ground under a layer of morning frost. Yannick plucked a wing off the ground. It was limp as dead grass. Wasn't death supposed to stiffen the limbs?
Where's the rest of it?
He asked.
That is a whole bird, sir. One of many killed by your New World cur.
Yannick turned the clump over. Yes, there was the head, the feet. It would have made a fine feast that evening. Yet for the bigness of its feathers, the bird had no heft at all. Where had its insides gone? No organs, no blood, just skin shriveled around a handful of bones.
How is this my cur's doing?
Yannick snapped.
A dog tears chickens limb from limb. This bird is desiccated.
Indeed, it resembled one of the dried corpses the Emperor imported from Egypt.
What else could have done it?
Yannick shoved the corpse at the innkeeper. The chicken's head lolled to the side. The dead eyes sat in the sockets like raisins, as dried out as the rest of the bird. The innkeeper's eyes widened. He threw the bird to the ground.
God save us!
He cried, crossing himself.
Forgive me, you are right. Your dog can't have done this. It is a pijavika's doing.
A pija what? Yannick asked.
The man-leech. The sinner's corpse that rises to drink the blood of the living.
Don't be a fool, Yannick snapped. Your village is so tiny I could toss this bird out of town from here. You can see as well as I that you have no fresh graves.
Well, something happened to my flock, shouted the innkeeper. If not a dog or a monster, then what?
Yannick huddled against the cold dawn. Yes, something was amiss here. Felipe snuffed about the garden, taking the odd pause to piss or lick his balls. In no way was he the cause of this, but something drained the chickens.
What could obliterate its viscera so completely yet leave the skin and bones too dry to rot? Oh, God!
Yannick scrambled away from the henhouse, smothering his face in his shirt.
This is no animal, but some miasma!
A plague? The innkeeper asked.
Are you sure? Good Lord, yes! It doesn't take a physic to see it! Felipe, get out of there!
Yannick grabbed the dog.
God's wounds, and to think you fed me that! Get yourself a good apothecary and burn the bodies.
To the devil with this cursed little burg. Best to wash his hands, light a pipe of tobacco, and be on his way before he caught this wasting sickness. Yannick raced back to the inn, clutching Felipe, who wagged his tail giddily all the way. A stiff breeze snatched away the last puff of Yannick's pipe.
I should have gone around, he muttered to himself.
It took 2 days and stands of fur so dense he could scarcely see the sky to admit he couldn't traverse the forest. Even his mount, a seasoned post horse called Capitano, struggled to find a place to put one hoof after the other. For these past hours, he led Capitano on foot, leaving Felipe in the saddlebag so he'd not lose him in the underbrush. All the while, Yannick prayed his bread and tobacco would last. Neither had. Shivering, he tied Capitano to a tree, wedged himself between a pair of twisted trunks, and tried to stay his growling stomach. Darkness, even more darkness, fell as the sun set. He lit his lantern and considered his options. Turning around would land him in the snows he'd tried to avoid, but at least he'd encounter a mountain inn or two. But he'd have to explain both the expense and his delay to Count Frankenberg. But on foot, he'd starve before he reached the other side. Capitano paced in his harness, nostrils flaring. Felipe leaned out of his saddlebag with ears perked, sniffing the air. "Something smells good," Yannick whispered. He grabbed Felipe and wrapped his cloak tight around both of them. God, let it be a deer. Not that he stood a chance of catching it with only a lapdog and a dagger. But if the trees slowed them down, perhaps prey struggled too. Snowflakes flickered in the lantern light, blotting out the few snatches of sky visible through the canopy above. Damn it all! Now he'd have to keep moving or freeze, for the snow would smother a campfire. Capitano lurched against his harness, his panicked whinnying echoing off the trees. No common deer would make a horse react so, especially a beast as sensible as Capitano. Yannick's mind raced. What predator stalked this forest? What was big enough, strong enough, to frighten a full-grown horse? He struggled with his scabbard, freeing the dagger, but dropping Felipe in the process. With a yelp, Felipe shot into the forest.
Damn it, Felipe! Get back here!
As if Yannick could protect him against whatever was out there. He held the lantern aloft, straining to see something, anything. A rising howl drowned out his hammering heart. Another howl, louder than the first, echoed off the trees. Capitano screamed and reared. Shadows slunk in the dark. Eyes reflected, oh God, more than one pair, and from more than one direction. Yannick gripped the dagger with a shaking hand for all the good that it would do. Even the best Spanish rapier was no match for an entire wolf pack. If only he had a torch, or a mastiff. Where was Felipe? Plastering himself against the nearest tree, Yannick felt the rank breath of the wolves drawing nearer. He peered into the darkness, but couldn't see past Capitano stampeding.
Felipe!
Yannick called. What was he thinking? The little dog would freeze to death if the wolves hadn't eaten him already.
Here, boy!
He called, his voice cracking. The poor mite. A tear froze on Yannick's cheek. Why, oh why, had he not simply gone around? Capitano's screams bled into the wolves' howls. Yannick crossed himself.
Jesus, hear my prayer. Defend me from the enemy at the hour of my death.
Every muscle ached to run, but he dared not, for the hungry wolves would be upon him in a trice. Yannick scanned the ground wildly. A branch, a stone, anything. Something shot by with such force it knocked Yannick to the ground. He flailed for the lantern, narrowly missing getting his hand torn off. Sweet Jesus! Something had taken on the wolves! Something big enough to crack bones, tear flesh, and move so fast Yana could scarce see anything save a whirlwind of fangs, fur, and glittering eyes. He hugged the frozen ground and covered his head. And then everything stopped dead. Yannick froze, wedged between Capitano and the stand of bushes. He shivered at every sound that broke the sudden silence. The dull crack of bone, the rasp of the wolf's final breaths, then something wet. Oh God, like the juicy bite into some unholy fruit. A bear. What else could be large or strong enough to crush a wolf's bones? Silently as he could, Yannick loosed Capitano's bonds. The poor beast deserved at least a chance to run. The underbrush snapped under Yannick's feet like arquebus shots. Two red pinpoints glimmered out of the darkness. Yannick's throat went dry. Those eyes didn't belong to the wolf. No, the wolf's eyes stared dull and dead in the dim light, its tongue lolling from its mouth. The legs twitched a horrible dance, still alive or in its final throes. No, the horrid red eyes belonged to something else. Something not a bear. Bears weren't armored. Plates slayered this beast's back, like those of the western scaly lizard Voss had procured for Yannick the year before. But those lizards weren't this huge. Nor did they have vicious spikes along their spines or jaws strong enough to crush a wolf's throat like dried kindling. And sweet Jesus, that sickening, sucking sound! The wolf diminished, its pelt shrinking to cling to the bones. The wolf's limbs, no longer twitching, withered to twigs. Even its muzzle receded, and the eyes dulled and shriveled to raisins in its skull. Just like the innkeeper's chickens. Jesus, who, hear my prayer? Yannick crossed himself. God save him, the innkeeper had been right. A pajivaka, a blood drinker. But it couldn't be. How did it get here? Had it followed him? Why had it waited to attack, and why did this armored leech not look more like a man? No matter. Yannick had to move now. He pried himself away from Capitano and gripped his dagger. Where to go? This animal shot out of nowhere to bowl over a wolf. It could surely outrun him. Yannick chanced to step back, and another, and another. And a yip came out of the darkness. Yannick froze. Damn that dog! Thank God Felipe was alive, but he wouldn't be for much longer if he kept up that racket. Felipe's barking came from just behind the hulking monster, which turned its blistering gaze to Yannick. Stop! Stay! Fie! What was he doing? The monster dropped the wolf. A tongue red with blood licked leathery lips. Its fearsome, spiky tail waved back and forth, and then it yipped. Yannick gaped. It yipped again. Felipe! The monster wriggled its body so hard, 'twas a wonder the scales didn't fall off its back. The plates softened, melting back into a familiar, dull gray hide. The spikes along his spine sheathed themselves like a cat's claws. The monstrous body shrunk as well, but not in the manner of the drained wolf. No, the limbs formed those of a lapdog, the ecstatic yipping and wagging as familiar to Yannick as his own voice. Felipe jumped up for a pat on the head. Yannick cowered behind Capitano. What manner of creature had Voss sold him? Did he know? He must, but then shipboard vermin were so small that the remains were likely unnoticeable. Yannick himself hadn't bothered to seek Felipe's prey under the beds or in dark corners. He just assumed the dog had. Felipe whimpered and looked up at Yannick with big, sad eyes, like the loneliest hound in the kingdom.
"No, I will not pick you up," Yannick snapped. "Go on now. Shoo! You can take care of yourself, that's for damn sure."
Capitano wickered and stamped his feet at Felipe. His nostrils flared, but he didn't run. Felipe licked his lips, catching the last drop of blood clinging to his muzzle. Every inch the chastened dog, he tucked his head and wagged just the tip of his tail as though begging forgiveness. Yannick's hand tightened on his dagger.
He should go ahead and kill whatever Felipe was while he was in this helpless form. He'd save villagers from Genoa to Prague the loss of life and livelihood that would inevitably fall in Felipe's rapacious wake.
Though, the dog had slept at his feet for weeks now, without even a stray nip. Felipe shook the snow off himself and tiptoed over to the wolf. Grabbing the great paw in his mouth, he dragged it, or what was left of it, as though it were no heavier than a light blanket. He dropped it at Yannick's feet and wagged his tail.
"So, you retrieve as well,"
Yannick said through dry lips. Poor Felipe couldn't help what he was. Like wolves and vermin and other disagreeable beasts, most animals were dreadful in some way. Felipe, too, was what God made him, for good or ill. He wouldn't have created such a creature did it not serve his greater purpose. And Felipe's wolf had one damned fine-looking pelt. Yannick sheathed his dagger and knelt.
"Oh, come here."
In a burst of canine, or whatever he was, enthusiasm, Felipe jumped into his arms. Yannick wrapped him in the blanket to maintain lapdog-type appearances.
"That's a good boy, Felipe,"
he said, stroking the scruff of fur between his ears.
"The best boy."
Spring had bloomed by the time Yannick reached Prague. After the events in the forest, he turned back and spent the season in Genoa. The Alps were impassable in winter, so why shouldn't he enjoy the season in the Mediterranean? Besides, he'd been that much closer to Cadiz to pick up his latest shipment from Vaz. He strained not to slip on the damp cobblestones of the path up to Castle Hill. Dawn had barely blushed, but already activity teemed inside the castle gates. Courtiers in lush velvets darting from building to building, workmen hauling and unpacking all manner of goods through the courtyard. None of them turned to watch Yannick peering at them through the gate, struggling with his basket and straining to keep Felipe from jumping through the bars. Well, let them enjoy the Emperor's circle. He'd join them soon enough. He hoisted the basket in his arms and headed towards the Lion Court. The rank odor of the big cat struck Yannick before he even got near it. The Lion Court appeared at first glance to be just another of the Emperor's many Castle Hill improvements, until one noticed the high wall and the viewing gallery atop it. Felipe's ears perked, and he strained on his lead. Yannick pulled him back. The Emperor would wring his neck if Felipe harmed so much as a hair on one of his favorite pets. Yannick had grown rather attached to Felipe's scrawny little neck, even when he erupted in fits of barking and jumping. The source of Felipe's excitement lumbered into view. Mohammed, the Emperor's favorite lion, slunk towards them silently as a ghost on paws as big as dinner plates. His bushy mane framed muscular jaws and sharp amber eyes. Mohammed ignored Felipe, obeying the elegant figure seated upon his back. Bejeweled hands buried in his mane, she was as golden as the lion she sat upon, coils of braids wrapped about her head like a crown. Yannick swept off his hat and dropped a bow.
"Mistress Pilmanova," he said.
Master Hemserka, well met.
The Emperor's lion keeper slid off Mohammed's back as quickly as another woman might dismount from a mare.
How is the Spanish court?
I should not know, for I wintered in Genoa, Yannick said. I'm sure it is not half so welcoming as you.
Yannick cringed at his own feeble flirtation.
Lorenciana Palamanova was too dear for such foolish banter.
She was the latest in a succession of ladies Emperor Rudolf had charged with caring for his lions. The other courts had laughed at the idea that the weaker sex might even survive such an enterprise, until they saw the ladies riding one great cat or another down the palace corridors. Mistress Palamanova's lions were indeed the tamest in Europe. Still, Yannick flinched when Mohammed rolled over on his back with his great clawed paws in the air so that Mistress Palamanova could scratch his furry belly.
Fear not, Master Hemserka, she said. You will speak before King Felipe's throne yet, just as you will be in front of the Emperor's presence.
I can only dare to dream.
Perhaps she was right. After all, she'd succeeded as a lion tamer. So why should he not succeed as simple trader of animals? Her optimism was boundless. He could not hope to find a more steadfast champion and friend. Why, oh why, did she have to be married? Her eyes crinkled merrily in her tanned face.
I like your new cloak.
Oh, this?
Yannick tossed the cloak over his shoulder, exposing the wolf fur lining. He'd had it made as soon as he'd reached a tailor.
A lucky find in the Western woods.
And I see you found something else in the West.
Yannick finally let the raucous Felipe out of his hands. He leapt into Mistress Palamanova's arms, tracking mud on her skirts. But she didn't mind. She'd forgiven animal anything. At least he'd kept his little fur mantle clean. The soft gray covered him neck to back, and Felipe pranced like a peacock while wearing it. And why shouldn't he? Perhaps it was extravagant, but Felipe had earned it.
Behold, a hairless dog from the New World, Yannick said. Feared ratter, leecher of fever, and other abilities.
Oh, he is precious.
She turned Felipe to and fro in equal parts examination and excitement.
Is he healthy for a dog of his kind? He appears well fed.
Quite.
Yannick had been careful to change horses frequently, especially after a pair of holes appeared on Capitano's leg during the return journey to Genoa. Felipe had tittered his tail apologetically, but Yannick had paid the stable to retire Capitano in style, in a comfortable paddock, where he'd never again encounter tiny dogs with sharp teeth.
The Emperor will adore him, said Mistress Palamanova.
Well, in truth, Yannick rubbed the back of his neck, the Emperor can't have Felipe.
Master Hemserka,
Mistress Palamanova grinned.
Don't tell me that at long last an animal has warmed your heart.
Well, what if he has?
Yannick couldn't imagine spending another evening without Felipe sleeping at his feet, or another venture through the Western woods without such a loyal guard at his side.
Fear not, I did bring something for the Emperor. I had to go back to Cadiz for it. Why do you think it took me so long?
He opened the basket. Nestled under a fur blanket lay two Zolo puppies, curled around each other nose to tail, one gray, one brown and white spotted. The latter raised her head, perking her fox-like ears. Mistress Palamanova loosed the silent, joyful squeal most women reserved for jewels or dresses.
A male and a female,
she breathed.
Oh, please, please let me hold them.
She handled the pups, Adam and Eve, Yannick had called them, though, of course, the Emperor would call them whatever he liked, with exquisite care.
They woke to her cries of joy, their tiny tails whipping as they crawled all over her.
Yannick couldn't help smiling.
He'd single-handedly given the Emperor the means to breed a kennel of the most terrifying guard dogs in Europe. These pups would open the palace doors for him. But only if he were careful.
Yannick tapped Mistress Palamanova's shoulders.
Mistress, I should advise you to keep them from Mohammed and his followers, though.
But of course...
She cradled the little gray pup like a baby while he licked her fingers.
I'd never let anything happen to these precious little ones.
I'm more worried about the lions.
Master Himserka,
you jest with me.
Not at all. Felipe sniffed at a passing horse. Yannick gave his lead a quick tug.
Indeed, keep them from the deer park, the aviary... Actually, I recommend isolating them from the rest of the menagerie entirely, until they have some training, at least.
Mistress Palamanova cocked an eyebrow.
What are you telling me, Master Hemserka?
The Zolo is unlike any dogs, old world dogs. They have special diets and feeding methods.
Yannick took her gently by the elbow.
How many live goats can you get?
Oh, he had much to explain. But for once, it was a pleasure rather than a chore. As it turned out, not all of God's creations were dreadful. He would never see the appeal of those filthy birds or stupid sloths. But if he could find more animals of wit and use like Felipe... Perhaps he could specialize. He could make Count Frankenberg look like an amateur. With that, he walked with Mistress Palamanova towards the Lion Court and towards his next assignment, which, for once, he might even enjoy.
Alison Thurman was raised on a diet of Monty Python, Star Wars, and In Search Of, and these have all influenced her fiction about unexplained historical events. She's currently working on her first novel about the Elizabethan alchemist Edward Kelly. She lives in a galaxy far, far away, well, the DC metro area, with too many books and not enough swords. You can find links to her website, Twitter, and Facebook author page down in the description.
Hey guys, I want to thank Alison Thurman for such a delightful story, and I want to apologize to anyone from any of the countries whose accents I just butchered. Apparently my accent work has been slipping in the last few months. But seriously, this story was just so much fun to record. And as a pet person myself, I can totally understand getting attached to Felipe. If you guys did like this story, be sure to leave a thumbs up and a comment if you're on YouTube. Or if you're listening to the podcast, just be sure to subscribe for brand new short stories. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.